So we're looking at the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and let me give you a little bit of background to the question that I want to raise with you. There are two categories of mitzvahs. There are what we call mitzvahs tmidios, which are constant and continuous, and then there's a mitzvah bal mizman lizman, which means that the zman, the date, the calendar date on the Hebrew calendar engenders the mitzvah. And one of the differences between those two categories of mitzvahs is shechiyonu. It's called berchat hazman. When we have a mitzvah that comes occasionally, it's not a constant mitzvah, so we're so excited about that moment, you know, that engenders the mitzvah, an opportunity to do the mitzvah, we make a shechiyonu, which is called a berchat hazman. There's a great deal of literature on this, especially in cases where there's no Birkas Hazman. And one of those cases is Sfiras HaOmer. So for example, on the second night of Pesach, we recited one bracha and not two. When you read the Megillah, you recite two brachas. There we have even a third bracha, Shasan Nisan. But you certainly have a bracha on Kriyas HaMegillah and a bracha on Zman. The same thing, of course, applies to Ner Chanukah. Applies to a bris. In Chutz Laaretz, you should know, I don't know if you know this, they don't make a Shechiyon on a bris. The reason for that is because the Rashba says the Tzara de Nuka, because of the pain of the child, we leave out Shechiyon. But here in Eretz Yisrael, the Midrash Agra, and also the Midrash Sfaradim, is to recite a Shechiyon. Because it's a mitzvah that comes very rarely. It's occasional, it's not constant.
Sometimes twice.
And then you have Pinchin Aben, Lulav. Now Sukkah is a very interesting case, because Sukkah would be a classical mitzvah that requires a Birchas Hazman, but the Zman that you recited in Kiddush covers the Sukkah as well. So you kill two birds with one stone. You're thanking Hashem for giving you the Moed, the Kiddushas Hazman, because Kiddush Hazman itself requires a Shechiyon. And that applies even to Yom Kippur, which has no particular mitzvah, but will recite a Shechiyon.
Right.
And in addition, the mitzvah itself requires a Shechiyon, namely the mitzvah of Sukkah.
Wait, so if the first night of Sukkah, it's pouring rain, you didn't even start in the Sukkah, it's not like you started in the Sukkah, moved out, it was pouring rain.
Then you'd have to make a separate Shechiyon on the Sukkah, the first occasion that you fulfill it. It would be no difference than Lulav, which requires a Shechiyon by day. The Shechiyon that you recited in Kiddush the night before will not cover the lulav because of the hefsek, the interruption between the night and the day. But in any event, getting back to Sfirat HaOmer, I found, and I sort of put it together here, five different answers to the question, or at least four, why there's no bracha of Zman on Sfirat HaOmer. And we begin with the Baal HaMa'or, Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi. He lived about 11 centuries ago in Spain.
Are you asking why would we check on each night or at all?
On the first night of Sfirat HaOmer. Afterwards, when you get to the second night, there's no Shechiyon, just like there's no Shechiyon on Lulav the second day, and there's no Shechiyon on Sukkah the second time you sit in the Sukkah. But the first time is a very exciting moment. Shechiyon v'kimon v'giyon l'azman hazeh. So why is there no Shechiyon on Sfirat HaOmer? So let's look at the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says, that's the first source on your page, ובסבירת העומר יש ששואלים מה הטעם אין לנו עומר בו זמן. So we're going to fast forward to the answer that he gives. He says, וכלול של דבר אין לנו להחמיר בסבירת העומר. We shouldn't add this extra bracha of זמן with regard to סבירת העומר. שאינו אלו לזכר ביאלמה. Those are the key words here. That סבירת העומר is not a classical mitzvah, in the sense that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we don't have... All right, should we take a break for... Yeah. How long will it be?
2 minutes.
A minute.
Okay, so I'll wait for you.
We had...
So what makes Sfiras HaOmer different? Don't throw away the box here. What makes Sfiras HaOmer different than any other mitzvah that requires Zman? And the answer of the Baal HaMor is that this mitzvah is unique because we no longer have the Omer. So when we had the Omer back in the day, then for sure we recited Zman. Today that we don't have the Omer, why do we count the Omer if we don't have the Omer? It's only a Zecher B'Alma. And this is not the only case of a Zecher B'Alma. What can you think of on the Leil HaSeder, I'm just quizzing you, that would be a classical case of Zecher B'Alma?
Mar,
I don't know. We'll get back to Mar. I don't think Mar is just a Zecher B'Alma. Korech would be just a Zecher B'Alma. So the Baal Mar's thesis is that if it's a Zecher, it doesn't have the same status as a regular mitzvah. Any mitzvah, whether it's Doraisa or Drabbanon, requires Shechianu. I'll give you an example. It's very similar to what you were talking about before, Jonathan. Let's say I didn't have a lulav on the first day, or the first day of Sukkot was on Shabbos. So the first opportune moment I have to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav is on the second day. Let's say here in Eretz Yisrael, for example, the second day is only midrabbanan, because the Torah says ulkatim lachem biyom rishon, it's only on the first day, but the Torah says usmachtim lifnei Hashem alkechem shivas yomim. Lifnei Hashem alkechem means in the Beis Hamikdash. So outside the Beis Hamikdash, there's no mitzvah to take the lulav beyond the first day. But midrabbanan, we take the lulav. So if I had missed the first day, because let's say it was Shabbos, then I would recite Shechianu on the second day. Of course, that's my first occasion to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. Even though I dropped down from a Doraisa to Drabbanon, nevertheless, it's a full-blown mitzvah Drabbanon, and I make a Shechianu.
You're saying this is a kasha on the Mar.
The Baal Mar is saying that lulav, all 7 days, is different, that we have to analyze why, then Sfiras HaOmer. Lulav somehow takes on the status of a mitzvah derabbanon, and therefore it engenders a chiyuv shachiyanu. Sfiras HaOmer remains below the level of a mitzvah derabbanon. In a sense, you could say that according to Baal Mar, on the totem pole, we have 3 levels. The highest level is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Then we drop down to a mitzvah derabbanon, and even below a mitzvah derabbanon is a zecher li'alma. When we implement an action just to remind ourselves what went on when the Mikdash stood. And that's not as great as a mitzvah to Rabbanon, and the nafkamina is as far as Shechianu is concerned. If it's only a Zecher B'Alma, it falls below the basic requirement of Shechianu, of Zman. And it's called a Zecher L'Migdash. He says, V'afalpi sha'anu monim yomim u'shvuos. I know, this is interesting. Back in the day, when the Omer was brought, and the mitzvah of Sfira was Doraisa, we counted 2 Sfiras. The days, and what else? The weeks. Like, because it says Yom, and it says Shivas Yom Tishpolcha, you count Shivas Shavuos Tishpolcha, you count weeks as well. Now, if we only need a Zecher, the thesis of the Baal Mar is we don't have to count both days and weeks. It's enough to count days. But yet, he asks the question on himself. We count not only days, we count weeks. So he says, that's only minag hu biyadeinu. That's only an additional minag. But really, according to the strict letter of the law, all we'd have to do is count days. We don't have to count weeks. That's what he says. Avalatino zman ein lanu. But to add a zman for something that's only a zecher, that the minhag doesn't engender. So again, a minhag doesn't engender Shechianu, but what the minhag will accomplish is that in addition to counting days, I'll count weeks. The minhag is to duplicate the sphere that took place where? In the Beit HaMikdash. Good? The Odin, furthermore, he says, Lo matzinu birchat zman. See, this is the second answer of the Baal Mar, but it's very, very similar, very close in proximity to the first answer. Now, wait a minute. Shum Hana, this is a little bit difficult. Now, I can give you a whole long list of mitzvahs for which we recite Shechianu. I'm not sure exactly what the Hana is. He starts with the case of Netilas Lulav. And what Hana do I get from Netilas Lulav?
It's fun.
It's fun. Okay, you have fun with it. He says Shubba L'Simcha. That since the mitzvah of lulav engenders simcha, that itself is hanah. So now he's what?
Mikra Megillah.
Well, Mikra Megillah is even a greater simcha because it depends on the Baal Korin. Tkiya Shofar. What hanah do you get from Shofar?
Tshuva.
Okay, he says Lezichron ben Yisrael Avim Shiva Shemayim, and somehow it connects us to our Father in Heaven. Mikra Megillah, the Chas Rachman Alanu Pirk, that Hashem had compassion on us and He redeemed us. Pigeon Aben is Lefisha Yotzam Yisafek Nefel, because the luck is that up until the 30th day, you don't know if the child is a viable being. Okay, today we have different methods, but back in the day we didn't know. You know, in the olden times, the
mortality rate,
excellent. The mortality rate of newborns was very high. But now it's the 30th day, and he knows Yotze Mechal Nefel, so he's very happy about that. So it's interesting. It comes out according to Baal Amar in the second answer. The Shechiyonu is not so much on the mitzvah of Pidgin Abed, but on the
about all children too.
Oh, so that's a good question. So the kasha that Max is adding on, then, you know, you can't just drop the mitzvah element. It's kind of A plus B. He's integrating both the mitzvah element of Pidgin Abed together with the mitzvah is going to be the occasion for the brach of Zman, but you have to have an additional condition of Simcha, and that you have because Yotze Mechal Nefel. Either that, or maybe he's saying that Yotze Mechal Nefel is what engenders the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben, that's built into the mitzvah. But you have to know what happens if he was poed to his son before the 30th day. Alright. However, Sfiras HaOmer, Ein Bo Zecher L'Shum Hana. We're not remembering any sort of pleasure in which joy or sanctification connecting us to Shamayim. But what are we trying to remember?
The korban, no?
El lagmas nefesh. He says we're remembering the churban habayis. Interesting. So in a certain sense, there's an overlap between the first answer of the Baal Amor and the second answer of the Baal Amor. They both sort of downgrade this mitzvah, but for one of two reasons. Either you downgrade this mitzvah because it's not a real mitzvah, it's only a zecher. It's only to remind us of something that went on back in the day. Or you downgrade it because it's lacking any sort of hanah. It's almost antithetical to joy because it's agmas nefesh. How can you not remember the Mikdash with sadness and a certain element of grief when you count the Omer? Interesting. I mean, I never would have, you know, we count the Omer almost 49 times a year, right, for many years. And yet I never thought there was an element of grief in counting the Omer. Yeah, I think a Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning. I don't think of Sfiras HaOmer as mourning.
Isn't that in the perspective also? That's the end of Makkah, where Rabbi Akiva, you know, is views it with joy instead of...
Right, I think what Rabbi Akiva was saying is that since the Nevuah of Zecharia ben Brechia came to fulfillment, that was as if the Mikdash was rebuilt. You know, he saw in front of his eyes the actual, you know, Tzion saw the Tichrosh. He saw the kiyum of that Nevuah in front of his eyes, and he jumped for joy. But when you're duplicating the Mikdash in order to remember the Mikdash has been destroyed, I don't think Rabbi Akiva would necessarily advocate that on Tisha B'Av you should be jumping for joy. The kiyum of Tisha B'Av is Avelus. And here the Baal Amar sees an intersect between Sfiras HaOmer and Avelus. It's very strange. So that's the Baal Amor.
According to both those answers, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt,
absolutely. And that's what they did when they counted the Omer in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we're going to do if Yitzhak Shem. What do you say?
Were there brachot at all at that point? I think so.
But be that as it may, when we have the mitzvah of Sfira, the bona fide original mitzvah after the Mikdash is rebuilt, certainly we're going to make a brach.
Every night or just the first time?
I assume every night, but your question, Max, really is not related to the Mikdash per se. In general, what is the nature of Sfira HaOmer? Why do we count every night? That's an excellent question. Maybe next week.
Because it was once.
We can talk about it.
What happens if the Mikdash is rebuilt in the middle? Do you make the Shechiyonu?
Excellent. Good. Very good. Max, you're on the ball.
So it's dependent on when you bring the korban omer. If you didn't bring korban omer, then there's a mitzvah.
Right, but Max is saying that is there a mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer after the Mikdash is built that's independent of the Avos HaOmer? That's a fascinating question. Right, maybe we'll talk about another time.
No, I think it's either one way or another. In other words, either it's just there's a mitzvah because you're counting between time periods, in which case, whether there's a Mikdash or whether it's not, it's the same thing. Or you're saying, no, it's intimately connected to the Mikdash, and if you're saying it's intimately connected, then it needs the beginning to the end.
You can't just jump into the middle.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll think about it. Give me some time to work that
through. Hopefully it won't take too long to rebuild. There won't be this issue. It's just...
Well, no, it depends on what date in the calendar year, you know. If it happens today, you know, we build the base on Mikdash, you can do it overnight, but you can't bring the Omer. The Omer has to be brought on the 16th of Nisan. Now, I wanted to show you what could be viewed as a contradiction in the Rambam, but I think the Rambam himself avoids this contradiction. The Rambam in Chometz Umatzah, with regard to Korech, he tells you that Chozer v'Korech Matzu Barar, etc. The Ochlan below Bracha Zecher leMikdash. Now hold on for a second. The Rambam says there's no bracha when you eat the Korech Zecher leMikdash, but yet the Rambam himself in Hilchas Lulav writes that Mishacharev Beis HaMikdash his kinu sheyia lulav nita b'chol makom kol shivas yamim zech lemigdash. This is what we call takanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And yet the Rambam says, despite the fact that it's zech lemigdash b'chol yom v'yom mevarech olav. So why does the Rambam omit the bracha in the case of Korech because it's zech lemigdash, and yet he insists on the bracha in the case of lulav kol shiva, which is likewise zech lemigdash? And it seems to me that the answer lies in the last five words of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Mipnei shehi mitzvah midirei sofrim." Notice that he doesn't add those words with regard to Korech. Is anybody with me? I like the silence here is deafening. I photocopied the page for you. Do you see it?
Yeah.
So what is the Rambam trying to tell me in lulav? It's almost as if the Rambam is very much aware of the question with regard to lulav. Taki balta tzaf is it?
No.
Oh, yeah. You could use this one.
There's a bunch of
it. Oh, there are some extras.
Oh.
Oh, great. So
I didn't realize that.
It's okay.
No, I just need one.
I need three.
So Rabosai, why does the Rambam feel compelled to justify the bracha on lulav called shiva? In the case of Korech, he drops the bracha.
As we said, yeah. Zecher Mikdash is a lower level than...
Excellent. The Rambam wants to show you that lulav is a mitzvah midivrei sofrim. It's not just a Zecher Mikdash. But again, the question is still sort of painful because he says, Mishachare Beis HaMikdash is kidushi lulav nita b'chol makom, right? Shivas Yirecha, Zecher Mikdash. So the Rambam himself admits that even a Zecher leMikdash could possibly be a mitzvah midirei sofrim, and the difference is whether you make a bracha. If it remains Zecher leMikdash and that's it, flat, finito, then there's no bracha. If it's Zecher leMikdash but you upgrade it to a chi of a mitzvah midirei sofrim, that engenders a bracha. So the question is, wait a minute, I have Korech, which is Zecher leMikdash, and that's it. It doesn't go beyond. It doesn't climb to the next level. I have lulav, which is Zecher leMikdash, and yet the Rambam says we climb, we upgrade it to the next level, and we engender a chiyuv midivrei sofrim, and therefore you make a bracha. Korech doesn't get a bracha because it remains on the flat level, the simple level of Zecher leMikdash. Here, we add to the Zecher leMikdash, we crank it up, if you will, and it becomes a mitzvah midivrei sofrim, and therefore we make a bracha. Why?
I thought that.
Does anybody feel the question?
Was the one that
Haim is Yeshpo his Dahut. That's what I want to know. Yeah, go ahead.
Wasn't the one that
in Nishik that was talking the meaning
of Korach, and
it was
like goes back to Ezra and his time. You know?
So which goes back? You're saying that Korach comes before Lulav?
No.
No.
I'm saying that Divrei Sofrim goes back earlier to Ezra's time, Ezra HaSofer's time.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the history exactly when the Mitzvah Divrei Sofrim begins, but I don't think the Rambam, when he says that Korech doesn't deserve a bracha, is touching on the historical issue about whether we're before Ezra or after Ezra. I think the Rambam should be understood not historically, but more conceptually. What does Lulav have that Korech doesn't have? Meaning, remember that we saw in the Balamar that in Sfiras HaOmer, all you have to do is count dates. He says there's a minute to count weeks as well, but really we only have to count days. Why? Because it's only what? Zechel L'Churban, Zechel L'Migdash. What do you see from this Balamar about Zechel L'Migdash? What does Zechel L'Migdash have, but what doesn't it have? I feel like a dentist pulling teeth.
The problem I have is that it seems strange to me that if it's like Korach, I kind of get. It's like you don't even make a bracha on it. You don't make a shechion on it. You don't make a bracha on it. It's like nothing. It's like we're just like acting. We're playing.
So Jonathan, can I just ask you to polish that up with a few magical words? Because sometimes you get the tools. It's very helpful. What is Korach lacking?
A Meiser Mitzvah.
Excellent. It's not a Meiser Mitzvah. I hope you're not facetious about this, because this is, you know, again, I talk to you like I talk to my 18-year-old students. I mean, Max knows for many years I taught 18-year-olds. You know, they got right out of high school and we tried to give them tools to work with. This is a perfect tool, and I think Jonathan is making the point and it's well taken. There's something called a Maisa Mitzvah. A Maisa Mitzvah is a halachic entity. It's what we call a Chal Shem. It has halachic ramifications. What the Balamar is telling us is that Korech is not a Maisa Mitzvah. How do I prove to you that it's not a Maisa Mitzvah? There's no counting of weeks. There's only counting of days. If it was a real bona fide Maisa Sfira, the Torah defines the parameters of Sfira requires two conditions. Number one, days, and number two, weeks. We're only doing it as what? What's the lower level, Jonathan, below a Maisa Mitzvah? What's it called? Zefer. Sefer means a memory device. You know what? Why not just make a poster, you know, walk around with a banner that says, hey, remember that, you know, when the Migdash stood, we ate matzah and morar and Korban Pesach in a sandwich, you know, according to Hillel. Maybe, that's a good question, because at the end of the day, it's only a Zecher L'Dover. And if it's a Zecher L'Dover, it doesn't require duplicating the Maisa Mitzvah.
Okay, but the harder question in my mind is that if it's a zecher, why are you making a bracha at all?
Excellent.
Like,
good.
You should make a bracha and a shechianu or not do anything.
So wait a second. Now let's get to lulav. Again, we spoke about Korech. Korech doesn't deserve anything. No bracha whatsoever. It's not a Maisa Mitzvah. Okay, now the Rambam says that lulav, again, I'm jumping from the Balamar to the Rambam here, if you'll allow me that. The Rambam says that lulav does require a bracha, even though the takana was done for what purpose? Zechel Migdash. So what element am I forced to inject here into the picture with regard to lulav that was lacking in the case of Korech? Jonathan, again, the same two magical words. A Maisa Mitzvah. Well, what engenders a Maisa Mitzvah in the case of lulav? Why not say that Korech should be a Maisa Mitzvah? Why is lulav called a Maisa Mitzvah? In both cases, it's Zecher L'Migdash. No. In the case of Korech, it remains Zecher, and it's not a Maisa Mitzvah. The Balamar goes far, and he says you don't even have to count weeks, just count days. In the case of lulav, Kol Shiv, it's got to be the real bona fide Maisa Mitzvah. Why? What's the answer, Abosai? Simple answer. What do we start with?
Because we start with the Doraisa.
Exactly. We start with the Doraisa. What the Rabbanan are doing in the case of Lulav is they're expanding and extending the Doraisa. So they're building on a Maisa Mitzvah. There's a bona fide Maisa Mitzvah. If somebody tells you that he's going to take a lemon on the second day here in the land of Israel, or the third day in Chutz Laaretz, instead of an Esrog, what are you going to tell him?
You haven't done anything.
Tell him you haven't done anything. Why? Because we have to duplicate the lulav of the first day. Again, there may be differences between the lulav of the first day and the second day, but at least it's got to have a chal shem lulav.
Well, wait, but there are mitzvahs that just aren't based on deraisa; they're just made up out of rabbinical imagination, like the erev. You make an erev. That's a completely derabbanan institution.
Or Hanukkah.
Yeah.
How about near Hanukkah? I mean, yeah. The lighting candles.
That's a better one.
So what I'm suggesting is, Jonathan, what I'm suggesting here is a radical conclusion. At least it could be seen as radical if you think about it. Namely, that the Rabbanon are authorized not just to create an obligation, but to go even further and create what? A Maisa Mitzvah. And then Afkamin is a bracha. Why don't I make a bracha on a Mitzvah of the Rabbanon? So the Gemara says, Heichan Tzivanim. Do you remember that? In three places, the Gemara asks the same question. Heichan Tzivanu, Asher Kitshanu, Mitzos Tzivanu, Lahadik Ner Shal Chanukah. Yeah, I looked through the entire Tanakh, I didn't see any mitzvah to light Ner Chanukah. Heichan Tzivanu. You know what the Gemara is asking? The Gemara is asking, how can you make a bracha on something that doesn't have a Maisa Mitzvah to it? The Rabbanu decided I'm going to light Ner Chanukah, Shkeh. That's not a Maisa Mitzvah, the Torah doesn't recognize that. There are other religions that light candles. I mean, what makes this lighting of candles into a chal shem maisa mitzvah such that now it deserves a bracha? And the Gemara answers, lo sasu mikol sheyirucha, meaning that the chachamim were authorized by the Torah, and they can flex that muscle when they see fit to do so, to engender a maisa mitzvah. It's a pillar, it's a pellet floor, that they're going to have that power to do so. The Torah doesn't look at this maisa and laughs. It's a maisa kof bi'alma. It doesn't have any significance. You're lighting candles, shkoyach, and what are you going to do tomorrow? But the answer is that the Rabbanon established this mitzvah with a maisa mitzvah. By the way, forgetting about Zechel and Migdash, there's another level which lacks the chal shem maisa mitzvah. What's that level? Below the Rabbanon, without even mentioning Zechel and Migdash. What's that called? I'll give you an example. What do you say? No, Halacha Moshe Mishinai is Doraisa. I'm going below.
Aravot and.
Oh, excellent. What's that called? Chibut Arava. Starts with a mem and ends with a gimel. It has two letters in the middle. A minog, right? We don't make a bracha on a minog. In fact, Sfaradim do not make a bracha on Halal Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Halal Rosh Chodesh is only a minog. Rav, the Gemara tells us in Tainis, came into a shul in Chutz Laaretz, and he saw that they were reciting Hal and Rosh Chodesh. He wanted to stop them, but then he saw that they were only saying Hal Bediluk. Ah, the skipping parts, it's only a minog. Minog Avoseinu V'Yodeinu. Minog Avoseinu V'Yodeinu cannot engender a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam racks his brains to try to figure out why a minog like, for example, Hal on Rosh Chodesh should engender a bracha. He comes up with a fantastical answer, which I never understood. The Logara Mikriya B'Torah, because the Psukim and Halil are part of Tanakh, they're in Tilgum. Why that justifies a bracha, I don't know. But Chibud Arava, Kuli Amalo Pligi, doesn't get a bracha, because a minna cannot engender a bracha.
There's a different bracha. There's Rosh Chodesh, a different bracha. Li Kro versus Li Mor.
Well, no, that's because we don't complete the whole challah. But Sfaradim, again, there's so many different minhagim. But let me just say this. There's a group of Sfaradim, and not an insignificant, that will not make a bracha on challah and Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Correct?
The bracha that Sfaradim make is Ligmor Talal, and you're not doing a challah gomor, you're doing a challah.
So what's the difference between halbhal, half halal, and a challah gomor? Half halal is a minhag. On a minhag, we don't make a bracha. And the Rishonim compare it to Chibut Arava. Chibut Arava is a nice minhag. It's a minhag Nevi'im. Really dates back. You're talking about Nevi'im. That's probably earlier than Ezra Nechemiah. And yet, no bracha. Now we have another category of something that dips below a mitzvah midrabanan and likewise doesn't get a bracha. Not a minhag. Zeichel Mikdash. Zeichel Mikdash, what about lulav? So what I'm suggesting is that the Rabbanon took the Zeichel HaMikdash. The Zeichel HaMikdash of Lulav was the backdrop. It was the motivating factor. But what the Rabbanan did was, based on the Zeichel HaMikdash, they established Lulav as a full-blown Chiyuv Mitzvah Derabbanan with a Maisa Mitzvah. And that bona fide Maisa Mitzvah deserves a Bracha. And that's what you're going to do. Sphere Solomon, I don't understand. Sphere Solomon is right down the middle. What do I mean it's down the middle? On the one hand, Sfiras Omer has to be a Maisa Mitzvah. How do I know that Sfiras Omer has to be a Maisa Mitzvah?
There's a bracha.
There's a bracha. Shekin Shalom Tzol Al Sfiras Omer. And our premise is that without a Maisa Mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. But yet, what are we dropping? The second bracha. What's the second bracha? On the first night that we count Smira, Shechianu. Says the Baal Mor, you know why? Because it's Zechel Yalma. I don't get it. If it's Zechel Yalma, let's equate it with what? With Korech. And in the case of Korech, there's no bracha. Not only is there no Shechianu Birchas Hazman, there's no Birchas Mitzvah. Why does Sfir Salma fall in between the cracks? It's right down the middle. It's in the twilight zone here. How do you get from a mitzvah with a bona fide Maisa mitzvah, albeit the Rabbanon, like Lulav Kol Shiva, which requires two brachos, Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaZman, then we jump to Korech, and we have a Zechel of Mikdash, which is not a bona fide Chiv the Rabbanon with the Torah's Maisa mitzvah, and therefore doesn't get any bracha, even Asher Kitchonet Zosav Al Krichas Matzu Mara we don't have. And now all of a sudden we get to Sfiras Omer, which is right down the middle. And you're telling me, the Baal Amor is telling me, well, it's only a Zechel Yalma, Haraya, we can count days without weeks. It's not a bona fide Maisa Mitzvah. No, if that be the case, then why to make a Brachon? And all this, all that he, the Baal Amor, wants to convince us is, he wants to justify why we omit the Birchas HaZman. Forget about the Birchas HaZman. I don't understand why we make a bracha at all on Sfiras Omer if you're telling me it's not a Maisa Mitzvah.
Is the bracha part of the mitzvah? Part of the Maisa Mitzvah is the bracha?
Could be, I don't know. But even if so. Oh, so you're saying.
The bracha is part of the Zecher.
Ah.
The bracha is from the Zecher, not from the Maisa Mitzvah?
You know, the Zecher, it's, even though it's not a Maisa Mitzvah, or what?
The Maisa Mitzvah,
Are we leaving it down to the low level of Zecher, but yet we're upgrading into a bracha because the bracha is necessary in order to achieve the Zecher? Maybe. I mean, it's definitely.
I think you have your pointer.
It's theoretical possible. I guess in computer terms, it's definitely, you know.
Yeah, the crashes.
You know,
crashed all the time.
I feel it's a little glitchy, but, you know. But Rabbo said, what we're left with is the following question on the Rambam. The Rambam has Lulav on one end of the spectrum. He's got Korech on the other end of the spectrum. What's he going to do with Sfiras Omer? So I want to tell you something interesting. I have no qualms with the Rambam. If the Rambam was sitting here in the room, I have no problems with him. Why? He's the only Rishon that holds what?
Sfiras Omer is Doraisa.
Excellent. Beautiful. That Sfiras Omer is Mana Zez Doraisa. The Rambam holds that Sfiras Omer is an independent mitzvah, and it's not totally b'migdash. So if you ask me why Sfiras Omer has a bracha, Asher Kinshonim it's also Tzivanu, I have no issue with the Rambam. Because it's Doraisa. Why no Shechianu? That's a kasha on the Rambam. So on both sides, we have two kashas now. One kasha on the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor classifies Sfiras Omer as one and says, not even a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, it's a Zecher. And then we ask according to Baal Amor, so why do I bother making a bracha? Asher Kinshonim it's also Tzivanu al Sfiras Omer. On the Rambam, we have no question, no objection to the bracha al Sfiras Omer. Asher Kinshonim it's also Tzivanu al Sfiras Omer. Because the Rambam Lishitosu holds that the Sfiras Omer is mine and says Doraisa. But I have a different question according to the Rambam.
Why no
Shechianu? And here I want to read to you the Sefer HaChinuch. And then maybe, if, again, depending on when you have to, you know, close the lights here, maybe we'll have time for the Ran and the Me'iri. The Me'iri, by the way, is most fascinating. He holds that not only are you obligated to make a bracha of Shechianu on Sfiras Omer, in fact, you do make a bracha of Shechianu on Sfiras Omer. When? Where? The Shechianu that you make on the first night of Pesach, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it means the second night of Pesach, I don't know, but that Shechianu, because in Chutz Laaretz they make a Shechianu the second night of Pesach in Kiddush, that Shechianu covers Sfiras Omer as well. That's the meaning. Is that mine? Okay. So Rabbo, I just want to jump, this is a very famous Sefer HaChinuch. What does the Sefer HaChinuch say? Does anybody remember this? On the bottom. I mean, you can cheat a little bit, but you probably all know it by heart. I mean, it's
expecting a lot.
If you've counted the Omer in the last 20 years of your life, I don't know how old you are, but you'll probably remember the Sefer HaChinuch. Why do we count the Omer? You know, that kind of question in Rav Soloveitchik's class would usually be possible. You can't ask why. You know, the Torah says you got to count. But the Sefer HaChinuch has what's called Mishar Sheh Mitzvah. And basically he always gives a stab at speculating why the Torah commands you to be. So why do we count the Om? It's probably the same as the Sefer Achim.
Because it says so that people don't forget to come back.
To come back to where?
To come back, that people are all the way going Pesach. So then they go back, and they want to make sure they come back for Shavuot. So they have to count each day to make sure they come back for Shavuot.
Wow, that's pretty wild. I never heard that. It's already, I would say, it's an extension of the Sefer Achim. The Sefer Achim wants you to remember something, but what does he want you to remember?
Matan Torah.
Exactly, Matan Torah, because the bridge between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah is Sfiras Omer. Meaning, why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim? So you and I could have given 50 answers to that question. It's a liberation of slaves. You know, let my people go. No. That's not it, says the Chinuch. The Chinuch says Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in order to create a unique nation, an Am Sgula that would accept the Torah at Har Sinai. Now we left Mitzrayim, and we have to anticipate the great day. We've begun the process of Geula that's going to reach its fruition at Har Sinai 50 days later. So we're in anticipation. We're counting every day. Oh, we know that 50 days have to pass from the Omer until Chag HaShavuos, till Matan Torah. First day passed, the second day passed, the third day passed.
And then they ask how long we don't count it backwards, right?
Correct. So he's saying that if you want to show your anticipation, what you do is, I'm getting married in 50 days. Ah, I'm prepping for 50. Now it's 49. You know, I'm constantly anticipating, waiting to get down to that first day. Then he asks another kash on himself. He says, so why don't we start counting on the night of Pesach? That's when we went out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? I don't want to be pogea in the simcha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah designated that day to commemorate and celebrate the exodus from Egypt. If we have to start saying, well, I'm waiting, you know, waiting till the real McCoy, till the ultimate. And you remember, he points out very beautifully that Moshe Rabbeinu, in his first encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the snare, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to bring you to Matan Torah. So Rabosai, according to Sefer Achinuch, the question is not a question at all. Why don't we recite Birchas Hazman? Why don't we recite Shechiyonu on Sfiras Omer?
Because it's not a one-time thing.
No, say even better than that. Well, listen to the word. Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman hazeh.
We didn't get to the Zman yet.
We didn't get to the Zman yet. It would be ridiculous to say Shechiyonu.
Do we make a Shechiyonu?
Because we are, what we're doing, take a look at the Sefer Achinuch, he's saying,
the waiting is the mitzvah, the counting is the mitzvah itself.
Right, but it's not inherent in the day. You know, you can say, wow, I'm bringing my son into the Bri Social Avraham Avinu. I'm being poed to my son. I'm very excited about it. I'm reading the Megillah. I'm blowing the shofar and I'm connecting to Avinu Shebashamayim. But to say thanks Hashem for this day, when this day I'm fulfilling a mitzvah which demonstrates that I'm not there yet, you know, that I'm anticipating, I'm waiting. He says, "V'nechen kol ikron shel Yisrael bavura nigalu," the last paragraph on your page, is that Tzaveinu l'monos v'mochas HaShabbos v'ez Yosias HaTorah laharos b'nafshenu achifetz ha-godol ha-yom ha-nichsaf ha-nichbad va-nichsaf l'libeinu ki eved yishaf tzehel. He gives the example, in Yiddish we call it a beispiel, of an eved that's counting the days until he finally experiences redemption. He's going to be freed from slavery. What do you mean? I was free from slavery on the 15th of Nisan. No, that's not freedom from slavery. Ezu ben Chorin, what is a true free person when he accepts the Torah and Har Sinai?
It's similar to the answer of why you want to make a Shechiyonu for a bris, that the turning the child. So you say it's like, granted, it's a mitzvah, right, but it's a mitzvah that's not...
not like complete simcha.
Not,
you know,
complete simcha.
To say I'm so excited about this mitzvah, the baby is screaming, you know, that's hard. But here it's even better, I think, because in Hilchas Zman, Sfiras Omer indicates that, buddy, there's nothing inherent in this Zman. On the contrary,
there's nothing inherent in the Zman of a pigeon at Ben. There's not like that day is a yom.
Okay,
but on the mitzvah, not on the day.
But I'm just saying, if let's say for example, I recite a bracha on Ner Chanukah, I'm excited because of the day. It's the 25th of Kislev. This is the day that we're commemorating the great redemption for the Avonim. correct? Or on Purim, what I'm saying is it's the 14th, the 15th of Adar, this is the great day of redemption from Haman. There's something inherent in the calendar day.
No, it's on the mitzvah. It's not on the day. It's not on the calendar day. It's on the mitzvah. You would make a Shachianu on Mikra Megillah. You said Mikra Megillah before...
But what I'm saying, Jonathan, if the mitzvah is inherent in the day, then I understand that Shachianu v'kibonu l'yonu l'zman hazef. If the mitzvah...
Hijam, aren't inherent in the day.
No, but I'm saying today my son is entering into the bris. Today my son is being padui. That's a great excitement. It's not that... Pidgin Aben is a stepping stone because I'm counting away the days and the minutes and the hours.
Like the entire day is a Yom Tov. You had a Pidgin, you had Simcha then, but you know, by the afternoon, that's it, it's over.
But what I'm saying, Jonathan, you have to admit to me that Sfiris Omer, according to the Chinuch, is a unique mitzvah. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is to indicate we're not there yet, we're in a countdown mode. You know, we're waiting to get to the ultimate goal of Cherus. So to say, you know, I'm going to thank Hashem for this mitzvah today, when the whole purpose of the mitzvah inherently is to wait until a later date, I think that's difficult. And finally, you have the Ran. Now, if somebody could figure out this Ran for me, which is in the middle of your page, again, if you have to go, now's the time to go. He says, "Lama eim evarchim zman al sfir somer reisi mishakosav sheim lo sofer b'layla yispar b'yom." This is the sheet of the Bahag. Okay, the Bahag says maybe you do count during the day, but without a brach, it's not the real mitzvah. The mitzvah is to count at night. Kinesnan kol alayla koshel l'sfir somer mashma ho b'yom lo yatzah. Mishum hachi lo amirin beizman. What does that mean? Because the mitzvah is only Belila, therefore it doesn't deserve a Shechianu? And what about Lulav? We make a Shechianu Lulav. Lulav is only by day and not by night. I would assume it goes both ways. I don't know. Why is that?
Is it like L'chachila or...
What do you mean?
Like, let's say B'dieva. Could you shake at night?
No, it's meaningless. That's what they say about Rav Yisrael Salanta, that he had his esrog in a glass box, and the whole night he couldn't sleep. He's waiting for daybreak. So then he was looking outside, and he saw daybreak, and he lunges for his esrog, and he's bleeding because he forgot it was behind the glass ball. It's like last week I was here at Glide 2 weeks ago, and I don't know, this door is so see-through. I don't know, I'm retarded. I literally almost broke my nose.
We all hit it.
You're good company.
Yeah? Guys, you just made my day, because misery loves company. I felt so stupid. I quickly tried to clean up the hot tea that was all over my pants and all over the floor so that you guys wouldn't laugh at me. How could I walk into a door, you know.
We used to have a running count of how many people have walked in.
Yeah.
But when it started averaging like one a day, we gave up on it.
Some of the interior designers are not sensitive to this issue. They're interested in the beauty of the point.
Yes. Exactly. It was brought up numerous times to people who made the decision to remove the tape that was there, like some tape.
How did we get into this discussion?
That's the glass of the Rosh Hashanah sponsor.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, when he took the ice cream.
Maybe it's because day has more chashivas.
Day has more chashivas than night. Do you know of any halachic proof for that? I mean, I'll give you an example. Kriya Shema is by Laila and by day. Two mitzvahs. Shabbakov Kumecha. Is there more chashivas to the day than the night?
Most of it is by day. More of the korbanot are brought during the day.
Right, the base of English only opens for business by day.
Right. Day is like, you know.
Could be, I don't know. Maybe Sphere Sober somehow is connected to the Migdash and therefore it's only by day, but the truth is that here it's by night. So Adarav and the Avodas have Migdash in the case of the Omer is by night because Uspartam Lachamirachas HaShabbos means from the time you bring the Omer is only Kosher Malayla. You can't bring the Omer by day and therefore you can't count the Omer by day.
Yeah, that's all, yeah.
So I don't think that makes the mitzvah.
Omer is during the day, not during the night.
Which? I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
You bring the Beit HaMikdash was brought during the day.
Right, but the Ketziras HaOmer. We count from the Ketziras HaOmer. The Ketziras HaOmer is only by night. Those Rishonim who allow you to count the Omer by day, they hold that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is not connected to the Ketziras HaOmer, but to the Avas HaOmer, which is only by day. He's assuming here that we count based on the Ketziras HaOmer, which is only by night. And therefore it doesn't deserve a Shechianu.
Maybe Shechianu itself is only by day.
No,
like,
you make a
Shechianu
on saying
it's
up the first night.
Yeah.
Maybe he's saying the following. Again, this is very iffy. You could blow me away in like a piece of straw, but maybe he's saying that Sfiras HaOmer, if it was engendered by the Moed, then like you said before, why not count during the day? But the fact that Sfiras HaOmer is only at night and not during the day means it's not engendered, Sfira is not connected to the Moed, what we call Kedushas HaZman, but rather Sfira is connected to the Maisa Ktsira, the Mitzvah Ktsira, which is only by night. And therefore, well, what's the Shechiyonu of here? You know, make the Shechiyonu on the Ktsira HaOmer, but not on the Sfira. If you're counting days...
Yeah, but what does it matter? Let's say there was a Mitzvah, like some theoretical Mitzvah, which only exists from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Like,
so you make a Shechiyonu.
You make a Shechiyonu, like, even more so, saying like, right. Oh, there's this very rare...
But Jonathan, here I'm asking you the question, here's the question I'm asking you. Is Sfira HaOmer an independent entity, or is it just in a sense a child, what word am I looking for? It's a birth child of the Ktsiras HaOmer. And the Nafkamina is going to be whether the Moed engenders the Sfiras HaOmer, or it's the Ktsiras HaOmer. If it's the Ktsiras HaOmer, so make the Bracha Shechiyonu on the Ktsiras HaOmer. That's the Av, that's the father. You know, the Sphere, I'm just counting from the Ktsira. But if I can be Yotzi the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer even by day, it means that it's not just night, it's night plus day, that I'm looking at the entity, the unit of the day as it is sanctified by the Zman. And if the Mitzvah is engendered by Zman, like Lulav or Esrog or Sukkot or Shofar or Matzah, then I recite the Shechiyonu.
It doesn't make sense to me that it would be engendered from the Ktsira, because you could make the Bracha before the Ktsira happens, right?
All the brachas are
the Zman Ktsira. You need the Zman Aroy L'Ktsira.
Oh, Zman.
But the Zman Aroy L'Ktsira, because that's the mitzvah of Ktsira.
Hmm.
Rabos, I want to leave you with the following question.
Aaron makes a good point, because practically, what would it be? Yom Tov is over.
Yeah.
Right? The first day of Pesach is over. So the people who are in charge of gathering the Omer, they're still in Shul at Maariv. Right? So now everyone at Maariv goes in and says the Omer. They, meanwhile, they go home, they get to 19, they get their tools, they go out. It's 2-3 hours after Pesach is over until they're harvesting the Omer.
What,
the,
so what do you mean?
So it's the Zman, but it's not from the actual... The calendar of the Omer started before the Ktsira.
No, but I'm saying it's got to be the Zman Aroy L'Ktsira as opposed to the morning, because that's not a Zman Aroy L'Ktsira.
The Zman Aroy happened to coincide exactly to the Mod. It happens to be the same time.
But boss, I want to ask you one other question, then I'll let you go. There are two minhagim, whether to count the Omer before Aleinu or after Aleinu.
Mm.
The Vilna Gaon is of the opinion that we count the Omer after Aleinu. There's a tshuva called a Chok Yaakov. His name is Rav Yaakov Reischer. And he says we should count the Omer before Aleinu the same way that we do everything before Aleinu. So I was racking my brains. I couldn't come up with anything. What is the machlokas here between the Gaon and the Chok Yaakov? Why does the Gaon insist? And I think to this day, there are different minhagim. I was actually hoping you would save it till the second bris of Kaviona.
Which is today.
Yeah. Which is today, so I'll get it to you after the bris. What time is the bris?
It's 5:45.
5:45. I hope I make it.
We're
I have one in the
top of the pistol.
Okay, great.
The Pinsker building.
Maybe it's because it's like a seaboard type thing. Doesn't
so therefore it should be before the Omer or before Aleinu or after Aleinu?
But Aleinu is recent. Aleinu is like 1260s. There was a group of martyrs that died saying Aleinu. There were people were moved by that. They started saying it in the davening, but it's from.
But what is Aleinu? Is Aleinu the end of davening? If it's the end of davening, then it doesn't make sense to recite Sfiras HaOmer before Aleinu? I'm just trying to understand these different sheets.
It's like there were two minhagim that were tacked on at the end. One was saying, like, we daven Maariv, and then at the end of davening, we count the Omer, right? We count the Omer.
So that's what I want to ask you, Jonathan. Is it the end of davening that we recite Aleinu?
No, but also.
Wait, give me a yes or no answer. Is this correct or incorrect? You remember when we were kids, we got the true-false questions? True-false. At the end of davening.
It's no different. It's different than,
true or false?
Habakkuk.
True or false, Aaron? True or false?
True. It's after davening.
False. I'll prove to you it's false. Unless you can tell me this fire and do it differently.
How is it different than Habakkuk?
Let me ask you a question. On Yom Kippur. I mean, forget about Yom Kippur. On Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh. Yom Kippur. when do you recite Aleinu? After Shacharis or after Musaf?
After Musaf.
After Musaf. Another question. Yom Kippur. When do you recite Aleinu? After Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha, or Ne'ilah? After Ne'ilah. It's incorrect to say that Aleinu is at the end of every tefillah. When is Aleinu? At the end of what?
After Ne'ilah?
After the Ilah. Well, no, after Ma'ariv, actually. After what? What do you say?
After
you, yeah, can you give it to me in a positive? You're saying in the negative. You know,
When we're leaving,
exactly. Why? So the Taz says something unbelievable. That back in the day, the Jews intermingled with Goyim. When they left the synagogue, they were entering into the world of the non-Jewish community. And the non-Jewish community were idol worshippers. And Aleinu was established as a chizuk, as a send-off, when we went out into the streets and we mingled with the goyim. He goes very far. He says, because the idol worshippers, and I'm not sure...
He's talking about Christians.
He may be talking about Christians as well, because, Catholicism...
Aleinu is anti-Christian.
And what do they worship? Again, I don't know about Protestants, but I'm not a bucky in Christianity, but Catholics have accepted the Trinity, the God-man equation. And not only that, Catholics will bow down to a cross. And that's why my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik was very hesitant to allow anything that had any, even five steps removed reminiscence of Christianity. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but my Rebbe was opposed to stained glass windows and shuls. Mm-hmm. He claims that came from the Christians. He was opposed to reciting Yigdal at the end of Tefillah, which we do in the ELC, by the way.
We should stop.
Why was the Rebbe opposed to Yigdal? After all, we're declaring the tenets of the faith, right? It's all based on the Rambam. The answer is because that was a Christian minhag. When they closed their service, they would declare the tenets of the faith. And he was opposed to so many different things. My father had a shaila. When my father became the chaplain in the Coney Island Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, they didn't have a special chapel for the Jewish cholim, patients. Yeah. So what did they have? They had a revolving bima. Could you imagine? You press the button, and they use this in the Navy, by the way, because they don't have enough for three religions, Rav Soloveitchik said, don't dominate. At the end, my father got funds from the municipal government of the municipality of New York to build a special chapel in the Coney Island Hospital. It's a municipal hospital, but that's a different question. Yizdoch says the Taz, before we go out there, and he adds another word here which really caught my eye. I'll read to you his language if I have it in front of me here. Find it when I need it, but anyway, he says the following. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry, I mentioned the Taz. It's his father-in-law, the Bach. The Bach says the following: the Omer Aleinu Shabeach Hatam Litkoa Bilvavenu Kodim Sheniftarim Lebateim Yichud Malchus Shamayim Sheichazik Bilvavenu Emuna Zu. Sheyavir hagilulim in haaretz velilim karosi karesun l'sakin ol machu shakai ki oz gam ki yesh l'chol echad miyisrael maso matnim agoyim ovde avodizor v'gilulim v'hei matzlichim lo nifne l'vavenu el ha'olilim v'al yalev v'machshova chas v'sholim shum hiru ha'vera. Did you see those two words at the end? Added? What does he mean that the Hatzlach? What is he talking about?
Right, they succeeded.
Correct. That the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are very successful. They're running the show. They do financially well. Where's God? For the idol worshippers? What about us guys? What about us Jews? He says we might be tempted. This is a mind-boggling concept. So that's what Aleinu is. The Mela. If Aleinu is before we leave the shul, correct? Then when should Sfira Sober be? Before or after Aleinu?
Before
Aleinu. Softa Choch Yaakov is right. If on the other hand, Aleinu is the Siyum HaTfilah, which we disproved based on our minhag. You know, we don't say aleinu at the end of each tefillah. We only say aleinu before we go out. But let's say I would argue that aleinu is the closure of the Seder tefillah. Then when should we recite Sfiras Omer? After aleinu, because it's not part of the Seder tefillah. There's no relation between Sfiras Omer and tefillah. In fact, the coincidence of Sfiras Omer in synagogue is just coincidental, because that's when we got all the tribes together. But actually, Sfiras Omer doesn't require tefillah at all. It doesn't require makom tefillah.
It seems like there are two separate menhagim, and both of them are written as due at the end, and then like it's question, wait, which one goes to the end first? Which one goes to the end and then goes to the end after the end? That's it.
No, but I'm just saying that if you see two different menhagim in poskim, is Torah heap a little more than it's art. You know, you have to understand why these two minhagim are entrenched, and it really depends on two definitions of aleinu. If the way we always understood it, or at least I always understood, aleinu is the sea of my tefillah, then Sfiras Omer, like the gun, should be after tefillah. Then Sfiras Omer is not connected to tefillah. It's not like shofar, which is integrated into tefillah. It's part of tefillah. You know, you can't imagine eating matzah in the middle of Shmon Esrei. You can't imagine reciting Sfira in the middle of Shmon Esrei. It's totally foreign. But if, on the other hand, you take the box approach, that Aleinu was established as a chizuk before, because we're going back to our homes, leaving the Beit HaKnesset, then Sfira should not be after that.
Well, I mean, Aleinu is definitely not part of the formal tefillah. It was a very late addition.
But again, how was it established? Was it established as the closure of tefillah, or was it established as the Bach would have it, as a chizuk when we're leaving the Beit HaKnesset? It's a lundish question. What din engenders aleinu? Is it the din tefillah that engenders aleinu? Because aleinu is part of the Seder tefillah? No! Aleinu is not part of the Seder tefillah. Aleinu is just a chizuk before we go out there into the world of the idol worshippers. And I'll tell you the truth, I would have argued the opposite. That it's part of the Seder Tefillah, because basically what Aleinu is Kabbalah's Ol Malchu Shamayim. How do I know this? When do we recite Aleinu? In the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Which part of the three parts Musaf? In Malchios. In fact, Aleinu is the kickoff of Malchios, because Aleinu sets the tone for Kabbalah's Malchu Shamayim. Anachnu Korav Ishtachavim. That is Kabbalah's Ol Malchu Shamayim. So it makes sense that after an entire Seder HaTefillah, I should recite to Hashem that I'm a Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, Aleinu is the apex and the closure, the finale of Tefillah.
No, and that's also a reason why you should say it before Aleinu, because if you say it after Aleinu, people already left.
Yeah, that's like the classic.
you mean a technical thing, yeah. That people might not...
They might not
linger on for Sfira.
I used to feel guilty about leaving after Aleinu, even when there was more stuff. But now you've explained it to me. Aleinu is...
You don't have to feel guilty anymore.
Aleinu is the action of leaving.
I always thought...
But you want to stay till after Aleinu to hear the announcements. The president of the shul has a lot of announcements to make.
You know? And you're saying another reason to leave.
To me...
Some people hate the announcements, some people love them. Yeah.
To me, the counting of the Omer was always like something that you did because everyone happened to be there, kind of like Hadlakat Ners of Hanukkah.
Yeah!
Whoever happens to be here, so like we're just going to do whatever.
There's no connection between Sfira and Tefillah. If anyone tells you that Sfira is a Kiyum Tefillah or it's integrated into the Seder Tefillah, I think you should tell them to go fly a kite. It's Bubkis, it's Bubba Mice. It's telling you, see, Puvei Safta, as we call it. Okay, on both sides.
Another example of a